Pope Leo XIV has issued his first major statement since assuming office. The papal exhortation titled, I Have Loved You, echoes what Pope Francis said about deepening economic inequality. At a time when tech moguls have amassed extraordinary fortunes, Leo has some tough words about hoarding wealth. Dr. Sandy Cornish of Australian Catholic University has been studying the document.
Its main message is really that love for the poor has always been and must always be a central feature of Christian living, that there can be no authentic Christian living without love for the poor. The last time we had a Pope Leo, at the time of the churches beginning to respond to the Industrial Revolution, and Leo XIII was the author of a landmark encyclical on the condition of the working classes. It's often thought of as the beginning of modern Catholic social teaching. So I think from that, we know that Pope Leo is actually very concerned about justice in society, the state of working people, the plight of the poor, the impact of new technologies on the lives of those who are most vulnerable and in need.
How did the Vatican respond, though, Sandy, to this question as to how much of this exhortation, this statement, it's not an encyclical, but it's pretty close to it. How did they respond to the idea that this is a legacy or even a remnant of Francis?
I was watching the launch of the apostolic exhortation online. Cardinal Czerny, who's the prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, was asked a number of times by journalists, you know, how much of this is actually Francis and how much is Leo? And in the end, he said, it's 100% Francis and it's 100% Leo. It's not the first time that a pope has actually issued a teaching document that has taken up and completed work begun by his predecessor. Leo is explicit about that in the beginning paragraphs of this document, just as Pope Francis was in his first major teaching document, where he completed an encyclical that Benedict had started on faith. So it's not unprecedented, and I imagine that probably also in years before that, the same kind of thing might have happened without being explicitly acknowledged in the text itself. Usually the Pope doesn't arrive at his desk with nothing on it.
As an Australian delegate to the Synod on Synodality, you got to see Francis up close. Does this exhortation from Leo, as we say, very much of a piece with Francis's thinking, perhaps reinforce the idea that Francis very much had, if not Leo specifically, then very much had a type of Pope that he wanted to succeed him?
I did have the great honour of meeting Pope Francis on three separate occasions, and he's certainly someone who loved people. At the Synod assemblies, there were times when he would arrive early for a session and he would sit for an hour and just meet person after person and engage with each one. And he really lit up when he was interacting with people. And I think that kind of commitment to people, a pastoral orientation, would have been something that he would have hoped for in a successor. But really, the whole process of electing a pope depends on the Holy Spirit. Francis was someone, particularly with his Jesuit and Ignatian spirituality, who really had great trust in the Holy Spirit.
Now, there's obviously a lot about almsgiving or charity that's directed to the comfortable, but that's par for the course, or generally speaking, for every Christian faith, and indeed for Muslims and Jews and many other faiths. But what does this statement say about structures, about ideologies that perpetuate economic inequality?
There's both an emphasis on almsgiving and an emphasis on economic and political structures. The exhortation is very clear that people aren't poor by chance or blind fate. People are made poor, pushed to the margins. These are results of the way in which we structure our economic and political and cultural lives. And that's really been an important dimension of Catholic social teaching since the 1960s. This is not something new in church teaching, but it's timely to be reminded that sometimes we can take these systems and structures, processes and institutions as though this is just the way things are, but they're actually built by human choices and kept in place by human choices.
Yeah, we're living in a world where two men, Larry Ellison and Elon Musk, have between them close to $1 trillion, which is the value of the GDP of multiple countries put together. I get the impression that Leo is very concerned about this accumulation of wealth, extreme wealth, because he does make some comments, does he not, about the structures that lead to this extraordinary accumulation and concentration of wealth.
Having wealth is not considered to be a moral issue for Christians, but what you do with your wealth and how you came by that wealth, what happens in our relationships with others in the process matters a great deal. And Pope Leo, of course, spent more than 20 years in Peru. He's a citizen of Peru, and we've seen the famous photos of him literally knee-deep in floodwaters with his community. He really wants us to understand our responsibility for one another, that accumulating grotesque levels of wealth in a world in which children are starving, a world in which people are without work, a world in which people are without hope, is just not a Christian stance.
This sentence leapt out at me. We paradoxically see the growth of a wealthy elite living in a bubble of comfort and luxury, almost in another world compared to ordinary people. I mean, he seems to be focusing on this idea that there is an illusion of happiness in accumulating wealth.
Yes, and I think this is something that we saw in Francis's teaching as well, placing so much faith in material goods and accumulation. It's a form of idolatry. It's a cultural and spiritual problem.
You've given a fair bit of attention to the role of women in church teaching. This is not specifically about women, but I think there's a reference to their being doubly poor.
Yes.
Under the current economic structures. Flesh that out.
It's really very significant to see that he has, in fact, acknowledged gender discrimination, other experiences of marginalisation and exclusion, so that women who are poor don't have exactly the same experience as men who are poor. Women with disability don't have exactly the same experience as men with disability. And when you have multiple bases for discrimination or disadvantage, you get quite particular experiences. So I think it's very important that he has acknowledged that. And women everywhere are always amongst the poorest of the poor. Mm. So when we talk about our preferential option for the poor, it also has to be a preferential option for poor women.
Leo has given no indication that he is prepared to change what now seems perpetual Vatican teaching, certainly on women priests, but maybe not even women deacons. I mean, where do you think he goes with this question of women's ministry?
I'll be very interested to see where he goes. At the moment, as a result of the Synod on Synodality, there's a working group looking at some of these questions. He may be waiting to see what advice they provide. He may well have very firm positions of his own. I'm not aware of what his own personal views are. It's a bit clearer that Pope Francis was more interested in new forms of ministry and participation than trying to change access to older forms of ministry and mission.
Sandy Cornish of the Australian Catholic University. And you're with me, Andrew West.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.